Tess here. I've always had problems sleeping, and once I fall asleep, I couldn't stay asleep. I searched Getting to Sleep ASAP. So check this out. Sleep ASAP is a real product by Nutristrips. It's not a pill or drug. It's this amazing little thin strip you put right on your tongue, and it activates immediately. Tastes great, too. Best night's sleep ever.
Go to mysleepasap.com and discover how you can try a full month's supply free. That's mysleepasap.com.
Goalie gummies get you so close to your goals, you can actually taste them. The trick? Simply start with bite-sized steps, like Goalie's apple cider vinegar gummies with added B vitamins for daily health, or Goalie ashwagandha gummies to help you relax, restore, and unwind. Mmm, tastes like wellness just got a whole lot better. And when goals taste this good, it's easy to achieve them. Goalie, taste your goals. Learn more at goalie.com today.
It is the Hump Show. We're dead center of the work week. And man, it feels like we've been waiting for Super Bowl 57 for a long time. 57 days as opposed to just over 9 days. Thanks for hanging out with us on our Hump Show. We are literally in seconds posting, and by we, I mean producer Jay behind the scenes. We are posting the latest episode in our Super 6 Super Bowl series. It's part 3, and in this video, you're only going to find it on Twitter. I'll give you the clue this time. You're only going to find it on Twitter, so it's exclusive to that particular site, and we talk best halftime shows. So we've had a bunch of fun trying to come up with different places, different locales, different backgrounds. We've got a cameo from an NFL MVP in this one. Actually, we had a cameo from an NFL MVP, maybe it could be a two-time MVP soon. That was part 2. Part 3, more old school as we go over the best halftime shows. We're trying to come up with goofy ways moving forward now. Same thing. We want different backgrounds, maybe some props. Don't worry. We are going to have an entire video devoted to snacks. Here's a sneak peek, though. I can't get over this. The average American consumes, are you ready? 2,400 calories during the Super Bowl. 2,400 calories. That's more than the average daily allotment. So I would suggest not eating breakfast, lunch. Maybe your party starts really early. Between the foods and the drinks, we average Americans consume 2,400 calories. I'd hate to be those who were higher than the average. You don't need to eat for a couple of days after that. It's a day for gluttony, apparently. And I heard this list. I'm not going to give it to you yet because we've got stuff to do. Maybe we'll save it for that particular video when we get to it. And I think Jay and I have decided that's going to be the capper to our Super 6 series because, well, we feel like it's most important. So we're ramping up to it. It's the crescendo at the end of our song. I heard the list of most popular Super Bowl foods. Number 4, it's going to catch you off guard. I was stunned. And this is just food, not drinks. Pizza's number 1. That's no big thing. But number 4, it's actually much higher than wings. What? I love it, but it's not traditional. When you think Super Bowl foods, it's not traditional. But it's right up my alley. So Super 6 Part 3 just posted to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. To come here in the next 15 minutes, a conversation with my friend Jason Romano, who joins us once or twice a year. He's on Radio Row for Sports Spectrum. He had a chance to wander around opening night, and the things that he saw, the people that he talked to, pretty amazing. Sports Spectrum is a different perspective on the world that we cover day in and day out. It's not just the football, the baseball, the basketball. it's the family aspect, the football plus the family, and then plus Faith this week. And we know Faith came much more into focus. There's another F word. Much more into focus around the Damar Hamlin cardiac arrest on the field and how people were so open speaking about their faith, certainly their mental health, the conversations that were taking place in locker rooms. We heard about it from various members of the NFL. So it'll be good to catch up with Jason. I can't wait to share that conversation with you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So yeah, we now have one video on YouTube, one on Facebook, one on Twitter. Something for everyone. But our hope is that you will go and you will look at all three. The YouTube channel is rocking. It's because producer Jay's got a birthday coming up and people want him to eat broccoli.
Gotta be it.
Our phone number is 855-212-4227. I see too, and Jay is much more tuned into the numbers, but I also see that a lot of the views on our other videos are going up as well. So there's a lot there. Jay has turned me into a YouTuber. I blame Jay. It's way out of my comfort zone, but we've had fun with some of our goofy escapades, like playing Wordle for the first time on video. Also, the mystery box. I'm not going to tell you what's in it if you haven't seen it. The Chubby Bunny Challenge. We put that on video as well. And then our Stairway to Seven series. We've done three different steps of our Stairway to Seven series. And once football is done, we'll get back to that. So yeah, we try to get creative. This is Jay's cup of tea and I play along. This week, it's a different hat for every video in our Super 6 series. Again, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on YouTube, on Facebook, and our new video is up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Even as the tributes pour in for one LeBron James, and actually I'm looking up now at one of the TVs here in studio, and Kevin Durant, who we haven't heard from about the Kyrie Irving trade to Dallas, he recorded a video for LeBron on Brooklyn Nets Twitter. So we'll get to hear from him, just not what people want to hear from him, which is your reaction to Kyrie Irving demanding a trade and then getting shipped to the Dallas Mavericks. In case you didn't hear the reports, or multiple reports out on Tuesday, that Durant is now once again deep in conversation with Nets owner Joe Tsai and general manager Sean Marks talking about the future. I mean, forget the current season. What about the future? The direction of the franchise. Can this franchise be a contender? We talked about this with Brian Lewis going back to Sunday night when the trade dropped. He said the Nets don't have any intent of letting Kevin Durant go. What they want to do is convince him that they will put pieces around him. Now, the trade deadline is Thursday. Can they package some of their picks, bring in another above-average player to put with Kevin Durant? Maybe to convince him that they're serious, because it did not work with Kyrie Irving. So the Nets keep insisting to KD that they're serious about winning and that they're just kind of heading this off at the pass. We have no intention of trading you before Thursday. You can ask, but that's not happening. Kyrie, of course, a different story. Why? Because he is coming up on the end of his contract, and they weren't going to give him a deal that he was going to accept. The two sides were at an impasse. Kyrie did not like the offer that came back from the Nets, which reportedly included money that was tied to the team winning a championship, meaning he would have to be all in. He'd have to be willing to play the majority of the season. Can't go AWOL, can't check out, can't leave without telling anyone. Got to be available, got to be present, got to be playing at a high level, or you're going to miss out on money. And that's not acceptable to Kyrie Irving. So he demanded a trade last Friday. On Tuesday, he made his first public comments since the deal with the Mavericks. Why did Kyrie decide he had to get out of Brooklyn?
Sitting in the seat today, I just know I want to be places where I'm celebrated and not just tolerated or just you know, kind of dealt with in a way that doesn't make me feel respected. And there were times throughout this process when I was in Brooklyn where I felt very disrespected and my talent. I work extremely hard at what I do. No one ever talks about my work ethic, though. Everyone talks about what I'm doing off the floor. I just felt like being in New York City and the media capital of the world, there was so many things that leaked out that I didn't even know where they came from. And I'm answering things that I don't deserve. And ultimately, I don't pay attention to that much. So I'm just grateful that I got to move on and I'm here.
Well, first of all, he definitely pays attention. That's not true. Anytime you are responding to the storm around you, you're definitely paying attention. Anytime you're talking about feeling disrespected, you're definitely paying attention. It blows me away how blind this guy is to the way his actions have created the narrative around him. His actions, his choices have created this attitude, as he phrases it, of being tolerated, not celebrated. How do you celebrate a guy who bags on his teammates and just disappears for a week without telling anyone? How do you celebrate a guy who leaves his coach, at the time Steve Nash, high and dry for days in a row? I haven't heard from Kyrie. I don't know where Kyrie is. How do you celebrate a guy who does that? How do you celebrate a guy who makes it all about him? I've never heard anyone question his work ethic other than he will tell you basketball is not his top priority. When he wants to work, he works. But how do you celebrate a guy who didn't want to go to the bubble with his teammates? Now, he said it was because of social justice issues and he thought the entire NBA should shut down, but he did not go to the bubble with his teammates. There have been multiple times over the past couple years, regardless of reason. We don't even have to know the reason. We just know he needed personal time and he was away from the team. It wasn't injuries. They weren't excused absences. So we don't even need to know. We can all speculate about where he was, some birthday party, yada, yada, yada. That part doesn't even matter. You weren't with your team. We know that to be sure. How is it that he can rail against the types of things people say about him, but not understand that people are reacting to his own choices? He always puts himself first over the team. It's got this feeling, it smacks of entitlement, but also just being completely oblivious to where he falls in the whole spectrum. Not only does he think the earth is flat, he thinks the sun, the moon, and the stars revolve around him. A lot of times that's how he acts. But he feels disrespected. How about Steve Nash? Do you think Steve Nash feels disrespected? Do you think your teammates feel disrespected because you put yourself ahead of them every single freaking time? This sob story, it's like the old nursery rhyme about crying wolf. It doesn't resonate anymore. It's not all about you. He goes on to say, and this is certainly a personality trait. I don't begrudge him the desire to have time away from the spotlight, because I can't imagine being in the shoes of a professional athlete. Everywhere you go, you're recognized. I'm happy being a Y-list celebrity. I have zero desire to be in the spotlight the way these guys are, but I can't imagine why you pick a professional sport if you still don't think there should be any spotlight and you rail against it.
I just know I need healthy boundaries, especially in this entertainment business. There's a lot of disrespect that goes on with people's families, with their names, and I'm just not with it. So it's not personal against any of those guys, against in the front office. It's just what I'm willing to accept. And I took a chance, and luckily and fortunately, the Dallas Mavericks picked me up.
He makes it sound like that the lack of boundaries goes back to the Nets front office, and that's just not true. It's life as a professional athlete. He likes his platform. He talks about his platform and his impact and his influence. In order to have that, well, sometimes your boundaries get blurred. I agree with him. The way that social media treats athletes and families, it's gross. The way that social media treats celebrities, it's disgusting most of the time. But come on, man. If I can manage it, if I can deal with it, so can you. And some of this he brings on himself because of his choices and what he says. So what about Kevin Durant? The two of you wanted to team up and win multiple championships in Brooklyn. So how's that relationship?
It just didn't work out. And we still remain brothers. But it is a business at the end of the day, as we always say. And I got to look out for my family. And ultimately, I want to be at peace every time I come into work, rather than things hanging over my head or wondering what people think about me in the building or whether or not a report's going to come out tomorrow that I don't talk to my teammates, which is untrue.
I'm sure a lot of it is untrue. I'm not saying that he gets treated fairly, quote unquote, all the time. But it's not all about him. He's not, if he minds his own business and plays basketball and just goes about his business without creating some of these crazy headlines where he disappears or what he does with his social media, then he probably gets treated the same as most other pro athletes. He's an NBA champion. He's played with some of the greatest, but that's never enough for him. He's right in the center of the storm. He likes it when it suits him. He likes it when he can use it to his advantage. He doesn't like it when the narratives go sour. I don't know that Dallas is any different. Maybe he'll get left alone if that's really what he wants. Of course, players that get left alone don't get max contracts. It usually doesn't go together. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. He wants to get left alone, but he wants to go to L.A. How does that work? A-Law Radio, but find our newest video up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, Super 6 series for Super Bowl week. And back to that, my friend Jason Romano on Radio Row this week in Phoenix. Some faith family football ties, even as we count down to Super Bowl 57. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Goalie gummies get you so close to your goals, you can actually taste them. The trick? Simply start with bite-sized steps, like Goalie's apple cider vinegar gummies with added B vitamins for daily health, or Goalie ashwagandha gummies to help you relax, restore, and unwind. Mmm, tastes like wellness just got a whole lot better. And when goals taste this good, it's easy to achieve them. Goalie, taste your goals. Learn more at goalie.com today.
Tess here. I've always had problems sleeping, and once I fall asleep, I couldn't stay asleep. I searched getting to sleep ASAP. So check this out. Sleep ASAP is a real product by Nutristrips. It's not a pill or drug. It's this amazing little thin strip you put right on your tongue, and it activates immediately. Tastes great, too. Best night's sleep ever.
Go to mysleepasap.com and discover how you can try a full month supply free. That's mysleepasap.com.
Tess here. I've always had problems sleeping, and once I fall asleep, I couldn't stay asleep. I searched getting to sleep ASAP. So check this out. Sleep ASAP is a real product by Nutristrips. It's not a pill or drug. It's this amazing little thin strip you put right on your tongue, and it activates immediately. Tastes great, too. Best night's sleep ever.
Go to mysleepasap.com and discover how you can try a full month supply free. That's mysleepasap.com.
I'm going to say this. The Eagles are 15 minutes and 43 seconds away from the Super Bowl.
They're going to throw it across the formation, and it is caught over there, now slipping, and the Chiefs will tackle him. This game is over. This game is over. You can doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We're counting down to Super Bowl 57. Merrill Reese and Mitch Holthus on Eagles and Chiefs radio, respectively. Man, the game still feels like, oh gosh, it's a little bitty cloud off in the distance. But we'll get there. We will get there. Radio Row in full effect. We saw opening night, the primetime series made for TV on Monday with all kinds of crazy characters. My friend Jason Romano, who is the media director and podcast host for Sports Spectrum, was right in the mix of everything there in Phoenix. Jason, I know you were mingling. What did you see and who did you talk to on opening night?
Yeah, we saw a bunch of, you always see these spectacles. Opening night is so interesting. It's like that old media day where everybody and their mom and sister and cousin come out, some of them dressed quite interesting enough, and just asking the weirdest questions to these players. But I also noticed as we were approaching this night, I really went in not expecting to get a ton of content, just thinking that it's opening night. You just kind of want to be around. But these guys are just distracted to no end with so much going on. And yet we came away with a lot of conversations, even though they were 2 minutes long here and there. We got to talk to a few of the Chiefs, including their owner, Clark Hunt. We got to talk to the defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo. We got to talk to their kicker, Harrison Butker. And with the Eagles, you know, it was really interesting to talk to some of the lesser-known names, if you will, with the Eagles, like Jamal Singleton, who is, you know, the assistant head coach. He's Nick Sirianni's right-hand man. And getting to talk to some of the coaches, getting to talk to some of the players was fascinating to me because it's a different type of conversation than maybe later this week when we get to sit down with them during their open media availability, where there's not 15,000 people inside an arena and there's not 1,000 people, some dressed to the nines, asking the weirdest questions. It's kind of back to football, and for us, football, faith, and of course, you know, family. So it was really good. We had a lot of great conversations, and some of them are already out, and many more will be coming later this week.
Did you just walk up to Clark Hunt and ask him for a couple minutes?
So here's how that worked. It's fascinating that you asked this. So I'm with my colleague, Leah. She's down here doing our videography and kind of producing a lot of the content for us. And I said to her, we're going to hang in the back because I saw where Jeffrey Lurie was with the Eagles. Mm-hmm. And it's very possible that Clark Hunt might come back to this area. And if he is, I want to be ready and we can tape an interview. So the Chiefs players start walking out into their different zones and different areas. And all of a sudden there's Clark Hunt. He's just standing there. And with one of his people, I don't know if it was a security guard or a PR person or what. And he's just kind of standing there. And I looked at Leah and I go, let's go. And so I walked up to him. It was like within 2 minutes of the event starting. And I said, Mr. Hunt, I'm Jason Romano from Sports Spectrum. Would you be willing to take a few minutes? And he was like, absolutely. And he knew if he was out there that he was going to be doing interviews. And so we grabbed him and we got maybe 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, which I know isn't an extremely long time, but you don't get a lot of long interviews at the Super Bowl when you're covering the media like this or covering the games at the media availabilities.
Right.
So we got 2 minutes, asked him 3 or 4 questions, and he was great. He was gracious and talked about faith, talked about family and the importance of his prayer life and some of the questions that we might ask. It's a little different than your typical sports media company.
Jason Romano is on site in Phoenix covering Super Bowl week, and Radio Row, again, is the director of media for Sports Spectrum and also a host of the Sports Spectrum podcast. And I've been honored to appear on it a couple of times. It's about faith. It's about family. It's certainly about football this time of the year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. In the wake of everything that happened with Damar Hamlin, which, believe it or not, was just over a month ago. It maybe seems like forever ago. But when he suffers that cardiac arrest on the field, I think we saw a different side of the NFL, Jason. More players as well as coaches willing to speak out about faith, the anxiety and the concern for one of their brothers. We almost saw the league grind to a halt, which never happens. And I know you've spoken with chaplains and players. What have you heard about that moment, that event, and how significant it was?
Well, it certainly had a bunch of ripple effects, I think. And first of all, we were all praying for Damar, and we all saw a man practically die on the field twice and be resuscitated and then survive. And a miracle happened, and prayers were answered, and this guy is now alive, and it looks like he's going to be okay. Immediately after you're watching that, you saw the response on the field. You saw social media everywhere, offering thoughts, offering prayers, offering their best wishes and praying for a miracle here, not knowing how severe I think it was for DeMar on the field. And then from that, you go into the next few days and you see somebody like Dan Orlovsky praying on ESPN for DeMar, not offering prayers, but actually praying, which you very rarely ever see on a national broadcast of any sort, much less ESPN. And so then you start to see the teams talking about prayer, and you start to see players and others really be open to the fact that, hey, this was a guy who almost died. And for all of us, you know, our mortality is real, right? Where none of us are going to live forever. And so what does that mean when faced with our mortality? And I think a lot of us gravitate towards prayer and more spiritual thoughts and like the afterlife and questions. That's why I think it was bigger than just the NFL, even though the NFL responded in a really powerful way. I think the NFL is one of the more open leagues to being, you know, willing to go into the spiritual space, the faith space, the Christian space, the prayer space. Then when you saw DeMar starting to get better and better and better, it was, oh my gosh, we're witnessing a real miracle here that, yes, the doctors and all the first responders had a big hand in, but really at that moment, all you can do is give it to God and say, okay, God, we're trusting you here because there's not much more that we can do. So I think you saw some ripple effects to that that I think still transition into today, being at the Super Bowl here in Phoenix, and you see guys more open to talk about prayer, to talk about their faith, and, you know, team chaplains being equipped inside those locker rooms to talk to so many players who had so many questions and were fearing for their own mortality in many ways. There's a lot of layers to this, Amy, I think, and I think they still continue here at the Super Bowl as we talk to people.
I thought it was really candid of Josh Allen to admit that inside the Bills locker room, they were discussing things like prayer and church, and as you point out, mortality. Now, you've had the chance to talk to both of the team chaplains of the Chiefs and the Eagles. What are their roles in locker rooms in the NFL?
That's a great question. Yeah, each team in the NFL is equipped with a team chaplain. It's basically a spiritual advisor, a spiritual coach. You know, some call it a character coach, but really those guys are in charge, if you will, to work with the players. And in many cases, I know for the Chiefs and the Eagles, to work with the coaches as well, to help them grow in their faith, to lead and offer up opportunities to study the Bible, to attend chapel services and small group settings, to be able to grow in their faith spiritually. Because, you know, the grind of an NFL season, as you know, Amy, is just so encompassing and all-consuming that these guys really, if they're not careful, can get so caught up in what they do for a living, whether they're a coach or a player. And to have a chaplain like Ted Winsley with the Eagles, or to have a chaplain like Marcellus Casey with the Chiefs, to be able to pour into these players and be there to guide them spiritually, is, I think, obviously the NFL recognizes how extremely important that is, because every team has a chaplain and they're not employed full-time, you know, by the staff or by the team. In most cases, there's a couple chaplains that are full-time with their teams, but for the most part, these guys are volunteers, they're pastors at their local church, and they've earned the trust of the players and coaches to come in when invited and be able to share with them, you know, the hope that's found in God.
More and more, we're seeing conversations around mental and spiritual health when it comes to pro sports. So yes, their roles even more critical as we move forward, and athletes understand that there shouldn't be any type of a negative connotation talking about these things. And so they're more willing to speak up and support one another. Jason Romano is with us from Phoenix, Sports Spectrum podcast host. He's an author. He's a speaker. I know this because we're friends. And you mentioned 6 years on Radio Row. Two of those years have featured the Eagles in the Super Bowl, and you, as a longtime Cowboys fan, sometimes it's hard to put that aside, isn't it?
Oh, Amy, you got to put your fandom aside and be a professional, and I always try to do that. To be honest with you, not only am I a Cowboys fan, but my middle brother, who is, you know, my hero in faith, and, you know, a professor and PhD in biblical studies and a Bible professor, he's a diehard Eagles fan, and his two sons, my nephews, are diehard Eagle fans. So we go at it every single football season with the Cowboys and the Eagles. And I'm not saying I'm rooting for the Eagles this Sunday. I don't think I'd ever say that publicly. But at least the experience of talking to the Eagles and being around them, I can put myself, I guess, in my brother's shoes, in my nephew's shoes, and understand how much they would give their right arm if they could to have the experience that I get to have in covering this Eagles team. But, yeah, let's put it that way. I appreciate the Eagles, though, because they're extremely accessible. They have a strong faith journey, faith culture within their locker room, and they're really good. Like, they're set up for the next few years with this team if they play their cards right. And it's been cool to kind of follow along on their journey, even though I do root for their arch rivals with the star on their helmet.
Well, the Cowboys didn't have a bad season themselves. The NFC beast, as we like to call it this season.
Yeah.
So you would think that the potential is there too for that division to continue getting stronger moving forward. You and I are about the same age. I go back to John Elway and the helicopter play in the late stages of the Broncos-Packers game. I think that was 1998, but 97 season. Do you have a favorite play or plays from Super Bowl lore?
I love this question. See, one of my favorite topics is the Super Bowl, you know, and I love kind of looking at the history of the Super Bowl and being able to remember games and scores and highlights. So one of my favorite Super Bowl plays, it was probably, there's this play that happens in Super Bowl 13. So this goes way back, and I don't remember watching this on TV, but I've watched so many like Super Bowl 13 NFL films highlights, right? That there's a play in this game that happens where Terry Bradshaw is rolling out right, and he's trying to, you know, get ready to throw a pass. And Thomas Hollywood Henderson and another player on the Cowboys come and sort of corral him, and they steal the ball from him, and they run it back for a touchdown. And the Cowboys take the lead. The Steelers ended up winning that game 35-31. But there's an announcer who makes a call in that game who talks about one, you know, held him, the other one robbed him. And it was just, I don't know, that brings back the lore of Super Bowl. Certainly, I ran into David Tyree this morning, who I mean, you just run into a Super Bowl hero, right?
Right.
But I ran into him, and I thought, wow, it's been 15 years since he made the helmet catch, which at the moment, you're not even sure he made the catch. And then the more you see it and the more you watch the NFL films, you know, footage of it, you realize it's one of the great catches, if not the greatest, of all time. And I think it was voted number two in great moments in Super Bowl history was the helmet catch. So that's probably another one I think that stands out that's more recent, and it was held here in Phoenix 15 years ago.
I cannot believe it's been 15 years. I can remember exactly where I was and what I was doing. I was in a group of people who went nutso, some of whom were jumping on couches at the Super Bowl party where I was. In fact, that was probably one of the last Super Bowl parties I ever attended. So yes, it's a vivid memory for so many sports fans. Jason, in addition to the Sports Spectrum podcast and the interviews that you do on site when you travel, Sports Spectrum also has a magazine. What will people find when they pick up this magazine?
Yeah, so I'm really excited about our Sports Spectrum magazine that's coming out because we got to travel to Norman, Oklahoma late last year and sit down for really 2 days with the Oklahoma University Sooners softball team, which might be, if you know this, Amy, the most dominant sports team in America right now,
Patty Gasso.
College or pro. And they have a strong faith culture within that team as well, led by their head coach, Patty Gasso, their manager, and then their players, like their top players, their best pitcher, their best hitter, their best defensive player, are all strong in their faith. And so we got to go down there, sit down. We interviewed maybe six different members of the team, got to do some really cool photo shoot opportunities with them that's going to be on the cover of the magazine. So this spring edition, to me, I could not be more excited about it. I think it's the best magazine that we've done thus far since I've been on board with Sports Spectrum because of the fact that we were able to go and create this content that nobody else will have. It wasn't just stories that we wrote based upon other people's interviews. This was us going to Oklahoma, sitting down with the players, sitting down with Patty Gasso, and really finding out what is going on within this program, not just in how much they excel on the field as softball players and dominate, but really a culture that's been built of love, of family, and certainly of faith. So I'm excited.
And Patty has built an incredible legacy there. And also Joe Castiglione as the athletic director there. He really puts his coaches in position to succeed. So you want to go to sportsspectrum.com. That's where you can order the Sports Spectrum magazine. And then you can find Jason and the links to his Sports Spectrum podcast on his Twitter at Jason Romano. It's always good to catch up with you and hear the latest. Enjoy your time in Phoenix. I prefer the cold myself, but okay, whatever, with your 75 and sunny.
Amy, come on. Nobody prefers the cold. Do they? Really? I got to go back to this in 3 days. So come on here. You know, this is just how it is.
We're waiting for you in the Northeast, Jason.
Spring can't come soon enough. We'll just say that, Amy. But I appreciate you, my friend, and always appreciate you inviting me on your show.
Good to talk to Jason. And if you check out his Twitter, you'll see his conversation with Chiefs owner Clark Hunt and others from opening night. But I really appreciate that he is willing to have honest, open, authentic conversations. Sometimes he listens more than he talks. And that's one of the reasons why he's a great host. And for years and years, he was in the talent booking business, meaning for a lot of the big time TV shows at our previous network, he was the one who was scheduling the interviews, and he was constantly in touch with some of the biggest names in sports. So he's had a pretty incredible career and walked away from that portion of the business to be able to work with Sports Spectrum because he believes so much in that aspect of faith and then working and incorporating family into telling stories of football and other sports. So definitely find Jason. Also find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Brand new episode of our Super 6 video series is now available this time on Twitter. So we've gone YouTube, Facebook, now Twitter. Now we're not going to make it easy for you. Coming up next, Aaron Rodgers has got a grand new plan to help him decide if his football career should continue. Hope he finds what he's looking for.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Goalie gummies get you so close to your goals, you can actually taste them. The trick? Simply start with bite-sized steps, like Goalie's apple cider vinegar gummies with added B vitamins for daily health, or Goalie ashwagandha gummies to help you relax, restore, and unwind. Tastes like wellness just got a whole lot better. And when goals taste this good, it's easy to achieve them. Goalie, taste your goals. Learn more at Goalie.com today. Goalie gummies get you so close to your goals, you can actually taste them. The trick? Simply start with bite-sized steps, like Goalie's apple cider vinegar gummies with added B vitamins for daily health, or Goalie ashwagandha gummies to help you relax, restore, and unwind. Tastes like wellness just got a whole lot better. And when goals taste this good, it's easy to achieve them. Goalie, taste your goals. Learn more at Goalie.com today.
Tess here. I've always had problems sleeping. And once I fall asleep, I couldn't stay asleep. I searched getting to sleep ASAP. So check this out. Sleep ASAP is a real product by Nutristrips. It's not a pill or drug. It's this amazing little thin strip you put right on your tongue, and it activates immediately. Tastes great, too. Best night's sleep ever.
Go to mysleepasap.com and discover how you can try a full month's supply free. That's mysleepasap.com.
Me, one of the core tenets of your mental health is that self-love. And that's what ayahuasca did for me, was help me see how to unconditionally love myself. And it's only in that unconditional self-love that then I'm able to truly be able to unconditionally love others.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm sure you remember that Aaron Rodgers revelation from the Aubrey Marcus podcast. Well, there's a new revelation and a new trend that Aaron is about to try following the Super Bowl week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio on Tuesday, making his weekly appearance on the Pat McAfee Show, though I'm wondering if he foregoes that for his upcoming darkness retreat.
Sitting in isolation, meditation, dealing with your thoughts. Nice. It stimulates DMT, so there can be some hallucinations in there, but it's just kind of sitting in silence, which you know, most of us never do. You know, we rarely even turn our phone off or, you know, put the blinds down to sleep in darkness. So I'm really looking forward to it.
How does he know? How does he know we don't put the blinds down to sleep in darkness? And some of us sleep in the daytime, so we don't have the chance to sleep in total darkness very often. My goodness. He comes across very superior to the rest of us peons who don't have the enlightened ideas that he does. Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show. So why is he taking this four-day, four-night retreat?
I think it's going to be important to get through this week and then, you know, to take my, you know, my isolation retreat and just to be able to contemplate all things my future and then make a decision that I feel like is best for me moving forward and in the highest interest of my happiness and then move forward.
What's isolation retreat? We're just going into a cave? Is it just you in there? And if you're just in there alone, do you know how many days you're in there? Are you taking an iPad?
It's four nights of complete darkness.
What? Where is it?
You can leave if you you can't do it. You can just walk out the door. But it's a darkness retreat. Wow. And I've had, you know, a number of friends who've done it and had some profound experiences. And it's something that's been on my radar for a few years now. And I felt like it'd be awesome to do regardless of where I was leaning after this season. So it's been on the calendar for months and months and months. And it's coming up in a couple weeks.
So sometimes Pat McAfee's reaction to Aaron is actually funnier or more interesting than anything Aaron says. What? So good.
What?
Exactly. I feel like Pat McAfee speaks for a good portion of America when he hears that it's 4 days and four nights in total darkness. Now, what are they putting? Black crepe paper on the windows? Light canceling curtains and blinds? Because unless he literally is in a cave, as McAfee indicates, it's unlikely to be complete darkness. That would mess some people up. Do you guys remember... Well, it's one of my favorite Tom Hanks movies, Castaway, where he is in isolation. Now, he had sunshine, but he's in a cave for a good portion. Like when there's storms that were hitting his island, he was in isolation in darkness in this cave during these storms. And he was there for a much longer time than 4 days and four nights. I don't think Aaron could hack it. But he eventually was going crazy, which is where we got Wilson!
He tried to take his tooth out with an ice skate.
He did take his tooth out. Yeah, he had to. It was getting infected and creating great agony and pain. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Aaron, by the way, is still basking in the glow of his victory at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am and had his trophy front and center with him for the Pat McAfee interview.
Hey, congrats on the big win. We're all proud of you.
Thanks, let's go. Thank you.
We're all very proud of you.
This dwarfs my other trophies. I was talking about how, you know, when you win MVP, you get this little trophy. It's about this yay high. And then preceding years, it was even smaller and smaller and smaller. Then I won this Sunday. And this is the real trophy right here. This is the real thing.
With his Canadian partner, Ben Silverman, they won the Pebble Beach Pro-Am on Sunday. Josh Allen was there, too, and congratulated him. Am I the only one who just wants to hear Rodgers talk about football? We don't actually get that very often, though he did give some insight into the Super Bowl and how the Eagles and Chiefs could each win the game.
If the Eagles line can control the line of scrimmage, I feel like they should win. But, Pat... is just such a dynamic player. If he gets red hot and they go up and down the field, make Philly one-dimensional, it could be the recipe to win. But I really feel like they need to get ahead early, and if they can get it to two scores, that's going to change the dynamic of the game.
Just football. I'm okay with just the football talk, but it seems as though it's less and less of what Aaron Rodgers does, specifically this time of the year. He calls himself the COVID MVP. He thinks the trophies have gotten to be itty-bitty. He likes his Pebble Beach trophy more than any of his MVP trophies. I'm sure that the NFL will appreciate hearing that. And now he is about to go into some type of a dark hole for
what?
4 days and four nights. Raise your hand if you're going to miss Aaron Rodgers. Okay, my hand's in the air. Because I'm demonstrating. Raise your hand if you cannot bear the thought of Aaron Rodgers disappearing for 4 days and four nights into a dark hole. I suppose we can practice pretending that he retired and see how we like it. I'd miss the football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Goalie gummies get you so close to your goals, you can actually taste them. The trick? Simply start with bite-sized steps, like Goalie's apple cider vinegar gummies with added B vitamins for daily health, or Goalie ashwagandha gummies to help you relax, restore, and unwind. Mmm, tastes like wellness just got a whole lot better. And when goals taste this good, it's easy to achieve them. Goalie, taste your goals. Learn more at goalie.com today. Goalie gummies get you so close to your goals, you can actually taste them. The trick? Simply start with bite-sized steps, like Goalie's apple cider vinegar gummies with added B vitamins for daily health, or Goalie ashwagandha gummies to help you relax, restore, and unwind. Mmm, tastes like wellness just got a whole lot better. And when goals taste this good, it's easy to achieve them. Goalie, taste your goals. Learn more at goalie.com today.
Tess here. I've always had problems sleeping, and once I fall asleep, I couldn't stay asleep. I searched getting to sleep ASAP. So check this out. Sleep ASAP is a real product by Nutristrips. It's not a pill or drug. It's this amazing little thin strip you put right on your tongue, and it activates immediately. Tastes great, too. Best night's sleep ever.
Go to mysleepasap.com and discover how you can try a full month's supply free. That's mysleepasap.com.